How many of you guys just love Dave Bresbin? Oh, what a legend, man. Just a good homie, you know? I mean, just makes everything feel good. You see Dave, and he's going to tell you that everything's awesome, and if you spend enough time with him, you start to believe it. Just an incredible guy. Love Dave. Love our discipleship school. What's happening there? Do yourself a favor and sign up and go check it out tomorrow night. It is a great way to move forward in God. How many of you want to grow in God? That's a trick question. See, we've been in this series of talks, right? Like we've been in a journey together through this rhythm of life that we have here at Antioch that we call the steps, right? And we've called this series Church in 3D because we really believe that we have to know where we're going if we're going to get somewhere. And so we've been looking at, okay, what does it mean for us to know where to go when we want to grow? Right, what does it mean for us to be in relationships with one another that revolve around some very simple questions that can catapult us into all that God has for us? And for us, it's very simple. We've just tried to line it out. We're like, look, this is what we really believe, that these steps, if these steps are a rhythm in your life, it's impossible for you to be stuck in your life. And so for us, the steps are saying with me, loud and proud, encounter, matter, belong, grow, and build. And really what these are is they are words that represent questions that we should be asking ourselves and those around us all the time. Are you encountering God? Are you touching something that touches others? Are you mattering? Are you belonging or are you just attending? Are you growing? Are you leaning into the tools that are available to you to take some ground in your life? And finally, are you about seeing the kingdom of God advance in you and through you? Are you building? We believe that if this rhythm is alive in you, that it's impossible for you to feel stuck. So our challenge is to live this and not just know it. Our challenge is not just to know a list like, oh yeah, I know the steps to encounter God. Yeah, I got that one. Check, right? Like matter, I served in kids one time and Lord knows I'm never doing that again, right? Check, right? I belong. I go to life group, you know, every once in a while. Check. No, these things have to be a rhythm for them to work. Come on. Yeah. Checklists don't work. Rhythms work. Are you hearing me? And so these things being a rhythm in us will lead us into more of what God has for us. Colossians 2 verse 6 says this. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Look, man, I hope more than anything today that you understand that the steps are a framework for this to happen in our lives. They're a framework for us to be those who understand that we need to be built up and strengthened in our faith so that we can overflow with thankfulness, encounter, matter, belong, and grow. Everybody say grow. I don't know if this happens in your house, but in my house, there's a few doorposts that have been tattooed with lines that represent the heights of my children. Okay? And to a kid, there are few things that are more exciting than seeing that you've gotten taller. But as you get older, growing is not as exciting. Can I get an amen for everybody who can't even think about the pants they wore when they were in college? I just look at the pants I wore in college and the seams, ask me, please, no. Right, growing as you get older in the wrong direction can be very disruptive. I used to be in college ministry, to be honest with you, there's many days I want to go back to college ministry because you just get to pretend like you're in college. And so we were having this event that we called Bros and Tacos, all right? And we gathered about a couple hundred guys. This was back when I was a college pastor in Waco. We gathered a couple hundred guys at this one spot on campus. Actually, Andrew was there. We gathered a couple hundred guys, and we had one goal. We're going to eat some tacos. We're going to be bros together. We're going to love Jesus together, okay? That was our goal. And so we thought, like, all right, everybody's hanging out. And so I, at times, would be tasked with creating some sort of game or facilitating a game to kind of help getting everybody to get to know each other. And so before this event, I said, you know what the perfect game that we should play is a game called Lightsaber. Okay, now if you've never played this game, you need to understand this is one of the greatest games that exists because it's very simple. You don't need a lot. You just need two people and you kind of lock hands and then you point out your pointer finger. And your pointer finger becomes your lightsaber. And the person who gets touched first loses. But you can only use the hand that's holding the other guy's hand. And so you have this incredible just battle of will and strength and strategy. It's amazing. And so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. You know, it's like I lift weights for life. No one thinks that's funny and nobody believes me. That's discouraging. Growing in the wrong direction these days. You know what I'm saying? All right? And so here's the deal. I think, you know what I want to do? I want to demonstrate my dominance in front of all these little college students. I'm going to demonstrate this game. I'm going to invite this little puny college student up here, and I'm going to flip him on his back. And the crowd is going to go wild, okay? And so I'm like, hey, you come up here. Let's demo this. And so we go for it. Now, I got to be honest with you. At this season of my life, I was not skipping snack day. And I put on some jeans. And when I put those jeans on, I felt from the moment I slid my legs into them that I was testing the integrity of the seams. Have you put a pair of jeans on like that before? And I'm like, okay, be careful. Like, this could go terribly wrong. But in the heat of battle, I completely forgot about this. And the very first defensive move that I made, I heard a very loud and distinct ripping noise. And all of the sudden, I felt a very strong gust of wind in my nether regions. Two things ran through my mind. First is, I don't know how girls wear dresses. This is horrible. Okay? The second thing that goes through my mind is, I'm so sorry. None of you can ever unsee what you just saw. And so I ran off the stage, had to go home and change pants because I blew the crotch right out those jeans. Look, no one needed me to explain anything when it comes to if you outgrow something, things begin to break. No one needed me to explain that night. They saw it. Poor Andrew can never unsee it, right? Like, it is a marking truth that when you grow in the wrong direction, things that used to contain you begin to hurt you. Ooh, I wish somebody was already ready to hear the word of the Lord this morning. When you grow in the wrong direction, the things that used to contain you begin to hurt you. Look, you're here today because you want to grow. Can we just state the obvious? You wouldn't have gotten up, for those of you who are here right now, and got your kids ready. You wouldn't have done that. Lord knows you wouldn't have done that. Lord knows that you wouldn't get in the fight that happens every single Sunday morning with your spouse. What is it about Sunday mornings that just makes you hate the people you live with? I don't understand what it is. You could have the greatest week of your life. Everybody, kumbaya, thank you, Jesus. Everything's awesome. The alarm for Sunday morning, everybody hates everybody. World War III. Right, and you're gonna battle your way through that. You're gonna park in that parking lot. You swatting your kids on the way here. You got donut holes flying all over your car, and then you're gonna get out and smile. Hey, you do all that because you want to grow. That's why you're here. You want to take a step forward in your life. You want your walk with God to begin to take some traction. That's why you went through all that challenge to get yourself here today. Like, you want to grow. The desire is not the problem. Here's what I'm learning. Can I take you into what I'm learning? The desire to grow is not the problem. Oftentimes, it's the direction of our growth that is the challenge. Our desire to want to move forward. Man, everybody wants that. Man, you want to see breakthrough in your life. I mean, you know that wall that just comes chasing for you in your emotions? It doesn't seem like what you're doing. It's just like you know it's coming. It's just like there's this thing, and you're going to find yourself upset about the same thing, but it was caused by different things. That's called a wall in your emotions. Liz and I had a wall when we first got married around China. You know that expensive crap you never eat on? Look, y'all know I grew up in the hood and slightly redneck and Cajun. So for us, when we got like the Dixie thick paper plates, that was like China. You feel me? If we were just eating on regular paper plates where you got to get four of them so your beans don't fall off the side, you know, that was like every day. So I marry her, and her family like eats on plates. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come to my house, you would think that my house growing up, you thought it was just like a frat party because there's red Dixie cups everywhere. You know, that's how we roll. And so she goes and she registers us for some China. And I'm thinking, why in the world are we spending all this money? We could use that money on something else. And would you know that for every fight that we got in for about 5 years, guess what came up? The China. Boy, we could be fighting about anything. Right? But I'd be like, yeah, but you know what you did. You know, like you bought that China. When have we used it, Liz? Who was right? Right? I mean, we could be talking about, you know, like it didn't matter. Why? Because it's a wall. Yeah. And so you're running through life, and then all of a sudden that wall hits you. And that wall might be in your finances, right? It's like you can't seem to get unstuck of the rhythm that you're in. And right when you feel like you're getting ready to take a big stride towards breakthrough, something happens and you feel like you're right back at the start. Why? Because you're hitting a wall. Listen, if you want to grow up, we have to get healed up. If you want to grow up, we have to get healed up. We can't run further than our pain. We can't run further than our past disappointments. We cannot run further than the effects of the trauma that we've encountered in our life. It will catch you. And it catches you by manifesting itself as a wall. And you just list some area of your life. And if we went around the room, everybody can identify quickly, man, if there was a button and if I could just push that button and this wall would go away, we could all name that wall right now. You know, I was actually reading an article, as you do on a very rainy Saturday afternoon, about the effects of trauma on our growth. What's amazing is that when a child experiences trauma, it has a stunting effect, not just on their emotional development, but also on their physical development. That when a child goes through something that is traumatic, that it literally stunts the growth in their life. It plants a wall that, with undealt with, will have lifelong consequences. If you want to grow up, you have to get healed up. I don't know what your trauma is, but I know that you've had some. And don't be deceived. Your trauma has stunted your growth. And our desire to grow is met with fierce opposition with the effects of the trauma that we've encountered. And until we get healed of the pain that we have gotten so familiar with, we will never step into the fullness of who God is and who He's called us to be. Because we'll just keep hitting those walls. We'll just keep running into those same things that we've been doing and saying and feeling for so long that we start even just calling them who we are. But the truth is, it's not who we are. It's the effects of the trauma on who we were.
Wow, that's good.
Because Ephesians 4 says this, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I want you to hear what I'm getting ready to say. You can be called by God, oversaved. How many of you know somebody who's oversaved? They can't even go into a parking lot without being like, bless the living God. He gave me a parking spot. Nah, you just got timing. Anybody know anybody who's oversaved? Right? You could be called oversaved, anointed by the living God, have a dream of God in your belly. Wake up in the morning, pray the paint off the walls. Show up to church on Monday, Wednesday, life group, discipleship, D-school, college ministry, serve in the youth. You could give, you could sell your whole life and still have an old mind. Oh, listen to me. You can be fired up in God and have some broken thinking. You look, the problem is not the dream. Oftentimes, the difficulty is that dream getting through the broken vessel. And so you're convinced, oh, God is on my life. Woo! And you forget to deal with your mind, but nobody wants to have to deal with your word through your old mind. Paul says that we need to put off the old self. Break it off. And put on a new mind. To get where we want to go. To move towards being more patient, more loving, more kind, more gentle. To being the parents we all desire to be. To be the single person that pursues purity and holiness and righteousness and contentment. Wherever you find yourself, to get to that, whatever you call that. To get there, we have to get healed from the pain that got us here. If you want to grow up, you have to get healed up. Here's what I want you to grab today. It's not simply that we need to put off the old self, but that we would see how we put off the old self. That we would understand how do we take off this old mindset that is limiting us so that we can step into the fullness of who God is and who he's called us to be. If you brought your Bible this morning, I want you to jump with me to Judges 6. Judges 6. And what's happening is we're going to jump into a very familiar pattern that the people of God kind of found themselves in all throughout the Old Testament. You could say they consistently hit the same wall. The enemies would camp out and wait for those grains to begin to bear fruit. And as soon as that land went from desolate to fruitful, the enemy would come and invade and ravage and steal everything that the Israelites were trying to do to get themselves unstuck. How many of you have felt like this? That you're doing something in your life and you're doing everything that you can to get yourself out of the situation that you're in. And it seems like the enemy is just hanging out. And right when you're about to go harvest your victory, you look out at the field and it's ravaged. There ain't nothing left but just death and devastation. And you're right back where you started. But what begins to happen next in this story in Judges, like I said, is that God does not allow his people to go undefended. And so God initiates in the midst of this massive oppression, both socially and militarily, God initiates with a young man with the name of Gideon. And Gideon, it says in verse 11, was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now look, let's lean into this for a minute, because Gideon was threshing wheat in a place that was never designed to thresh wheat. How many of you know that that would have been difficult? You ever tried to do the job with the wrong tool? You might be able to get it done, but it takes four times as long and it's 10 times harder, right? So he's threshing wheat. He's trying to turn this grain into something that he could provide for himself and provide for his family. But he is doing it so fearful that he is hiding in a place that was actually created to be a place where wine is pressed. How many of you know that God will oftentimes speak to you when you're in the pressing place? When it feels like everything is stepping on top of you and you don't even understand why you are in the situation that you're in, and you find yourself there trying to do some things that you can't even understand why am I in a wine press trying to make some wheat? And God speaks to him when he was in the pressing place, and God begins to tell him who he is, regardless of how he feels. Listen to me. If you want to start to learn how to step out of that old self that is limiting you, you have to begin to hear God tell you who he thinks you are louder than what your culture and your experience has told you who you are. And God looks at this man who is threshing wheat in a wine press, and he speaks to him and he says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." You know, Gideon was like, "What? I'm up in this wine press hiding. I'm no warrior. What you talking about, warrior?" He must be talking to the dude in the next wine press. There's no way he's talking to me, because I'm not a warrior. You know why he thought that? Because he had been told that. You know why that word bounced off of him almost as violently as that wheat was bouncing off of his leg as he was threshing it in that wine press? It's because his whole life he had been told that he is a part of the weakest family, and he was the weakest one in the weakest family. So as soon as God started talking to him about how he saw him, he couldn't even hear it, because his past had told him, his old self had made him clear. I'm no mighty warrior. You're not talking about me, but warriors don't come out of my family. Victory doesn't come out of my family. No, my family, that the story of my family is difficulty and breakdown and divorce and poverty and debt. That's the story of my family. What you talking about, mighty warrior? We ain't warriors, we're survivors. I mean, look at me. I'm in a wine press right now because I'm scared to show my face. If I showed my face, those idiots over there on that hill, they're going to come steal my stuff. I don't want to fight them. I'd just be like, go ahead. And Gideon starts to have a dialogue with God, because you got to understand that when God begins to tell you who you are, it is an opposition oftentimes to how you feel. And so when God begins to tell you that you're a warrior, you need to understand that the enemy has been telling you that you're a loser for your whole life, because the enemy does not know your future, but he does know your past. And he will exploit everything that has happened to you and what is going on in you to try to get you to discredit what God is speaking to you. And so Gideon now is hearing the voice of God say, "You are not who you were, But I want you to also see that there was a little bit of fight in Gideon, though. Look, that Gideon did not give up. He was still trying to provide for his family. He was figuring it out. But the circumstances of his life had put him in a place that was too small for what God wanted to do through his life. And Gideon was in a wine press, and God said, "You're not made to hide in these walls. You're made to lead my people into victory." You know, Liz and I love plants. I wish we were better at it because we just seem to invest a lot into murder. We have killed more beautiful plants than I think anybody has. There's a store in the Domain now that says they have, what's it say? They have hard to kill plants. We're like, thank you, Jesus. Somebody has created an avenue for us to have success. And now here's the thing. I legit think we're going to kill them. But look, some of my favorite indoor plants are called fennel leaf fig trees. Anybody else love these? Oh, they're just beautiful. They got these big leaves. They look so cool. I love them. And when we first moved to Austin, we got two fennel leaf fig trees, and they were really, really small. And we nursed those things and babied those things, and we grew them up for 3 years. They got huge. They were towering in our kitchen. They looked so beautiful. And then one morning, I woke up, and there was a leaf on the ground. I didn't think much about it. I'm like, oh, a leaf. Then the next morning, I woke up, there are two leaves on the ground. I was like, huh, they've never done that before. Then the next morning I wake up, all the leaves are on the ground. I'm like, I'm reading. I'm not seeing this as a normal cycle of a healthy fennel leaf fig. And I begin to immediately blame Liz for killing our plants. It was the China, dadgummit. We could have used that money to buy some bigger freaking pots. You over here still haven't eaten on that stuff. You want to hear something crazy? The fennel leaf fig trees were not the only thing that just suddenly died. Within a two-week span, every living plant in our home died. Now, some of y'all, they're like super prophetic. We're like, the Lord is saying something to you. I'll be honest with you. I'm not that spiritual. I was just like, what did we do wrong? And so we go to our plant person, gracious lady, who sees too much of us because we just keep having to replace these plants. And I'm like, ma'am, you got to help us, man. We had these trees and they were just like awesome. And now they're dead. And not only that, but this plant died. And what are we doing? We didn't change anything. We didn't change the water, the lighting. Nothing happened. And everything is dying. And she said, well, when's the last time you changed their pots? I was like, oh, you're supposed to do that? Pots are expensive. You're supposed to change the pots. Oh, yeah, you got to change the pots. Well, why did they all die at the same time? Well, it's really simple. Somehow there was a plant-eating fungus that got into your house, and because the pots were too small, the plant couldn't outfight the fungus. Our plants needed to be healed, but they also needed a new place. And this is what God does to us. Sometimes we're running into a wall. It's because we're in the wrong place for the new season.
Wow, that's good.
So what worked for you 2 years ago is not working anymore. And you're feeling like God has left you. But God did not leave you. He's just inviting you to get into a bigger pot. But the only way you're going to get into a bigger pot is if you believe that he is exactly telling the truth when he looks at you and says, "What's up, mighty warrior?" Because what keeps you in your old pot is your old mind. It's your old mindset. It's the way you used to see things, the way you used to spend money, the way that you used to treat people, the way that you used to do relationships. And you keep trying to do it that way, and it seems to not work. And then all of a sudden, not working turns into things dying. And we're walking around. Why are these things in my life beginning to wilt and die? And we begin to feel stuck. And we're running into that wall Again, and if we want to break out of that old mindset, then we have to say, God, who do you say that I am? Not what does my past say that I am? Not what does my family say that I am? Not what my family history says. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am, God? Because when you understand who God says that you are, now all of a sudden, you're going to go from a wine press to leading an army. Gideon was the same man with a new mind. The same strengths, but with a new mind. The same weaknesses, but he had a new mind. Because when you throw off the old self, and you understand that it's been corrupted and it's deceitful and its desires are deceitful and that we have been made new. And we put on that new self and God has created us to be in his likeness, the true righteous picture of who he is. You begin to understand that if I'm going to grow into that, I have to be healed from that. If you want to grow up, you have to get healed up. So how do we get healed up? Step one, very, very simple. If you think about it and you still feel it, you're not over it. Write that down. If you think about it and you still feel it, you're not over it. You might have forgiven somebody, but you're not healed from it. If you think about it and you can still feel it, you're not over it. And so you got to get with God until you can think about it and rejoice about it. That might take years. That might take a lot of years. But you got to fight the fight, because if you want to become who God's called you to be, you got to get healed up from the past that you've gone through. If you think about it and you still feel it, you're not over it. Doesn't mean you're weak. Doesn't mean that you're bad. It just means that you're broken. Doesn't mean that God isn't for you. Doesn't mean that God hasn't saved you. It just means that you've gone through trauma and that trauma has stunted you and you can't outrun it. That's why when you think about it, you start to feel it. Step one, if you think about it and you start to feel it, you're not over it. You got to tell somebody about it. That's why we have freedom prayer. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have discipleship, because we want to have as many avenues as possible so that you can take those things that you know that are limiting you, those walls that you keep running into, and you can allow the living God in a safe place to come and begin to speak to you about who you are regardless of what you've done. And freedom prayer is a simple tool where we just invite Jesus into the area of pain so that when we think about it, we don't feel it, we start thinking about him. Step one, you got to tell somebody about it. You're not going to get over it. You're not strong enough. You can't fight this addiction yourself. You can't get over that hump in your marriage alone. You have to tell somebody about it. You got to belong to something. You're not going to make it on your own. Step two, you got to take off the old self by putting yourself in some good soil, if I can echo last week. This is why we have things like the discipleship school, because we want to create good soil environments so that those things in your life that you keep running into, these walls and these barriers, that you get in an environment of people that are going to be good soil and seek Jesus with you and lovingly encourage you and correct you. Because how many of you know, if you think about it and you feel it, you probably haven't always thought right about it. Ooh, that'll preach. The longer it's in here, the weirder the story gets when it comes out of here. Oh, Lord Jesus, look, I'm telling you some truth right now, that if all you're doing is thinking about this, you can have one little situation and you start talking about it and there's some emotion up here when the situation is down here, because the longer that it sits up in here, the louder it comes out of here, and loud is often wrong. So you got to get around good soil. Like I said last week, you got to find yourself a small group. You got to go to that small group leader and you got to say, look, there's some stuff going on in my life. Will you help me? Will you allow me to tell you what's going on? Because I got to tell somebody. You know, the Bible says something very interesting in the book of James. It says, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. You know what's so crazy about that? It's confessing sins to each other has nothing to do with forgiveness, salvation, standing with God. That's repenting to the Lord. But when we, there's something in the economy of God that when we confess with our mouth to those who are around us, there's a healing that begins to take place in us. Jesus said in Revelation 20, verse 5, I'm making everything new. I'm making everything new. And I don't know where you're at today, but I want you to hear that. He's making everything new. He's making everything new. That wall that you've been running into, that he's making a way of escape for you. There's healing. He wants to bring you to a place where you can think about it and not feel it. He wants to bring you to a place of freedom. He wants to bring you to a place of breakthrough because God is a God of victory. And if there's something that doesn't smell like victory in your life, God's not done with it yet.